As I was praying, and really just, you know, I've got areas in my life that I have to work on, and things that even looking ahead to 2019, I was thinking about my own life, and I came up with 6 or 7 different areas where I feel like I can really improve and serve Christ better by giving more attention to this or being more disciplined in this area or that area. But my prayer is, Lord, where do we as a church, how can we grow? Where do we need to improve? And I'm going to offer, Phil and I are offered several thoughts this morning. But before we do that, let me offer a couple of disclaimers. The first one is that when we make a general observation, obviously it doesn't apply to everyone. And we're not even really thinking of who it applies to and who it doesn't apply to. And so that old saying, you kind of, if the shoe fits, right, wear it. But please don't think that I'm talking about you, because I'm not thinking about anybody in particular. But I'm if we see something that we think we can do better on, I'm perfectly content to just leave it between you and the Holy Spirit. And I hope you will, you know, go to the Lord and say, is that something that I need to think about and reflect on it and pray about? The other disclaimer is, even though I have thought about this and prayed about this and asked God for wisdom and discernment, and I trust that Phil has also, as we've talked through some things, doesn't mean we're necessarily correct. So we could be wrong. We could miss it. And so we're just throwing these out here for us in hopes that we can keep growing as a church and pursue greater faithfulness to the Lord. And so the first area that I think we can grow in is in our zeal for Christ. We are not, as you know, a charismatic church. And so there's not a lot of dancing in the aisles. And that's okay. But we should not be lacking in fervor and zeal for the Lord. In any case, I think about the book of Ephesians, and we've studied the book of Ephesians before, and one helpful outline for the book of Ephesians is just to split it in half. And the first part of the book of Ephesians is pretty much doctrinal. These are true things about God and the church. The second half of Ephesians is practical application. Here's now how you live this out in community, but there's a split in there in the middle. Before Paul gives all of these commands of how to live together, he says, be gentle with each other, be humble, be patient and kind, bearing with each other. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, only what is helpful for building others up. Stay away from sexual immorality. Put on the new self. Everybody do your part. Grow into maturity. Put off falsehood. Get rid of bitterness and anger. Be kind and compassionate. Submit to one another. He gives all these things. This is how you live as the church together. But before he does, he introduces all of that with a prayer, transitioning out of all of the doctrinal content, these truths about God, into how we apply these truths. And here's his prayer in Ephesians 3. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he, God that is, may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And I was curious, what does that really mean? And the best I can discern, that is an awareness, a living awareness of the presence and power of God in our lives. Paul told the Romans, commanded them, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. And I think we have a hint on how we keep our spiritual fervor by serving the Lord. But Paul seemed to understand that everything, all of these commands in the book of Ephesians about how the church is to function together and be faithful to God, all of these flow out of our relationship with God. And if our love for God grows stale, if it gets old, if it becomes boring, then how are we faithful? Our faithfulness grows out of our love for God and our zeal for Him and our zeal for His truth. And so what I want you to ask of yourself, because the church is made up of individuals, is it old for me? I was born again, but now I'm bored again. Is that me? Do I wake up in the morning and, yeah, I know that I'm going to face some tough things and I might mess up and sin, but am I thankful for my salvation? Am I joyful? Do I feel the power of God in my life? Am I excited to share my faith with other people? Am I excited to come to church? When we sing those songs, do I just sing with all my heart because I'm so thankful for the grace of God in my life? And there are times I think we need more zeal. We need more fervor. And I just want you to think about that. Don't think about your neighbor. Don't even think about your spouse. Okay? Don't think about your kids. Think about you. Are you excited about Jesus? It's appropriate that you would be. And I hope you are. If you're not, serve the Lord, even if you don't feel like it. Do the right thing, even when the feelings aren't there. Seek Him. James says, come near to God and He will come near to you. And pray for refreshing from the Holy Spirit. Phil.
Okay, and I'll just say too that these challenges that we're offering are what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I need these things. As Sean said, he's done some reflection in his life. We're going to do that as a family here the next couple of days. And well, it's not like you fixed these. We've got it all together. That's definitely not the case. And certainly on this next one, challenge to our dads. And you've heard this from us before, and we're not going to let it go because it's just so prevalent in the Scripture. I know the strength of the curse in this area. It's so easy to get in kind of coast mode or just kind of management mode with our families. There's that temptation for us as dads to disconnect or just to be grouchy. I want to be the kind of dad that really shepherds his family, his kids, and penetrates below just behavior on the outside, but to the heart. What is going on in the heart of my kids? And I think we've seen a lot of growth in this area as a church over the last couple of years. I think there's just still plenty of room for growth. And so I want to give that charge to our dads here about that loving, sacrificial leadership in the home. Ephesians 6, verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And that's just an ongoing thing. And there's all kinds of excuses we can make. I've never seen it modeled. My dad didn't do it for me. It just doesn't feel natural. Well, yeah, it doesn't feel natural because what feels natural is sin. There's just that temptation, I think, to disengage when our kids get to a certain age or when they can drive or when they're in high school. Oh, no, we've got to stay engaged as dads and pursuing our kids, having times of meaningful conversation, times of meaningful study and worship as a family, setting loving boundaries that are age appropriate for our kids, not covering for our kids, making excuses for them, not letting things go if we know that they're in sin or if they're in foolishness, to not just let that go and hope things get better on their own, not being naive. Instead, for us as dads to get involved and have those regular conversations, not just once a year or once a month, but daily, regularly involved in our kids, in the discipleship. We want to be fully present, lovingly leading, servant leaders like Jesus. And again, just resisting the lure of the idols that are put before our kids, not falling prey to the cultural idols of sports or grades or money, all those things that we can kind of get caught up into making more important for our kids. Man, what is most important, what is most urgent for my kids is for them to see me loving God and obeying Him, and for me to be encouraging them to live in faithfulness in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's just the most important thing. I can't be sidetracked. And so if I have to lay aside some hobbies or some other, you know, turn off the TV or whatever to cancel the cable, whatever it is, so that I can focus on that. So we just want to, again, encourage our dads in that area.
And if I could add to, that's one of our distinctives as a church. We said we're going to call our men to lead. And it's not just leading the kids. How's this for culturally controversial? Men, you're supposed to lead your wife too, right? Because loving your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. And so you are to make your wife holy. You're supposed to help your wife grow in godliness. And guys, sometimes that takes courage. It always takes tenderness and love, but do it. Do it. And most of your wives want that. And so we're just going to keep encouraging you, men, to be what God has called you to be.
You're next there.
Oh, I'm next? Okay. I think, and this kind of goes along maybe with my first one, and this is something that I'm tempted by every week when I'm here, is the temptation to be comfortable. And maybe it's apathy kind of at the heart of that. But I think it's real easy for, you know, Phil talked about the dad who wants to sit on the couch. All men can relate to that. But sometimes when we come in here and we're with each other, we just want to be comfortable, right? And so, you know, a lot of times I'll ask somebody, you know, hey, would you do this or would you help out in this way? And I do get turned down. We're a church that serves, but I get turned down. But the number one reason I get turned down is that would make me uncomfortable or some form of that. And if you're saying, oh, geez, I said that to him, you're not alone. You're in good company. You're in good company. A lot of people have said that to me. I've used that myself, okay? But I'm still looking for that Bible verse that says, be thou comfortable, or you shall make yourself comfortable. In fact, we get the opposite, right? We're told to lay down our lives as Christ laid down his life. This is dying to myself. And so, yeah, somebody might come in and I might think, I don't know that person. I'd rather just sit here and talk to Ken Lange because we have a lot in common. And I feel that. And one of the things that I challenge my kids to do, and they would tell you, yeah, he makes us do this. I tell them, you are supposed to go and talk to people you don't know. And I'm going to ask you after church, how did you make yourself uncomfortable? Or I will ask you some kind of question like that. And if it's good for my kid, because I make Isaiah do it too. Maybe not Tabitha so much yet. Your time's coming. But if it's a good question for a kid to ask, isn't it a good question for me to ask? And pastors can be uncomfortable too. And so my job is not to think of myself and my own comfort. It's to step out. That might mean praying. When I've never prayed before in front of a group, you know that you will never grow if you don't do something that's uncomfortable for you. You'll never grow. We men, we meet here 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. And I'm not sure why we don't have a full room. We should have a full room in that kitchen. I suspect that some of you are uncomfortable coming and praying with other men. I haven't done that. I don't do that. And I'm saying, I'm going to say this as tenderly as I know how to say it. Who cares? I don't care if you're comfortable. Come anyway. And I won't make you pray. Come and listen and pray in your heart and agree. But then push yourself and make yourself at some point do something you're not comfortable doing. And I would only say that to you if I love you. You gotta make yourself uncomfortable to grow. And I think sometimes we're too comfortable.
Okay. Certainly. Okay, another area of kind of challenge or encouragement for this coming year is to connect with each other. And we've talked about that earlier as a commendation that this is something we've done well, is stay unified through the building project. And I would just say now's no time to let our guard down or to start slacking. So really think it's important. You know, again, the biblical imagery here is that you are one body, many parts, and all those parts are attached. They're all connected. And that's what we're to be as the body of Christ, is to be, you know, intricately involved involved in each other's lives, interconnected. And that just takes some work. It takes time. It takes energy. Good energy. Good time. But it takes us to be, you know, intentional, deliberate about doing that. If you're not involved in a life group, get in a life group. We'll make space for you somewhere. If you have been in a life group but have been inconsistent, get consistent in the new year. If you're the kind of family that scoots out as soon as our morning gathering's done here on Sundays, make it a New Year's resolution to stick around longer and to start asking people out to eat. Maybe there's somebody here that you kind of, well, they've been going to church here for a while too, I just don't know them well. Ask them out to lunch. Do those kinds of things that will get us more involved in each other's lives. Again, one of our distinctives is community, and we all have room to grow in that. So I just encourage you to stretch on that. The temptation in our culture is to be kind of consumer driven and what do I like? Another temptation is just to get so busy that we don't have time for these things. We can't be too busy for one another. We just can't. And so maybe you need to say no to some other things, but being connected as a body is something that we want to encourage.
Could I add?
Yeah, you may.
Thought. And maybe you're thinking, well, that would make me uncomfortable. And it probably will. But, you know, how many of you, when you met your spouse today, it was kind of awkward at first and uncomfortable and a little weird? Let me see your hands. How many of you thought that was a little weird? Okay. You glad you pushed through that? And that's what I'm talking about. The Bible actually suggests that our closest friendship should be in the body of Christ. And if we aren't connected, if we just bump into each other, but we're not enmeshed with each other, then we're not going to grow like we need to grow. We really aren't. One of the things I wanted to work on in 2018, and I did work on it, and thankfully God has helped me a lot. I confess from the pulpit that I had an anger problem. I literally would yell at my kids. Like, scream, yell, okay? Sorry, not perfect. Far from it, sinful heart and sinful actions. And, yeah, I would do that. My kids would tell you, I think today it's gotten a lot better, a lot better. It's been a while since I've done that. And I wish I could tell you I never did that. But when I mentioned something from the pulpit that I have an anger issue, I invited some of you to ask me, are you fixing that? Are you still sinning in that way? And I remember shortly after that, I was so thankful for John Romer, because John came up and asked me. And a lot of people, they don't want to do that with a pastor. I'm just another guy. But I was thankful that John did that. And it helped me to know that John might ask me that question again. If John and I didn't have a close friendship, would he have done that? And so there's that value in being closely knit and connected together. There really is. God will sanctify us through the Word. He'll sanctify us through the Spirit. He'll sanctify us through each other. And I hope you see the value in your life of being closely connected to other believers. It doesn't mean that you have to be super close with everybody here, but you should have people in this church. If I asked you, give me a couple names, who can you go to if you've sinned and you need to get something off your chest? Who can you go to if you need to confess a fear? Who can you go to if you need help with something? Or you just sense that you need to be vulnerable with somebody? I hope you all have two or three, maybe four names of people that you can go to. And if you don't, then I would say you're probably not connected like God wants you to be. So grow in that. Sorry, it took some
time. Okay. Oh, that's all right. All right. Okay, second to last here. Another challenge for the coming year is, again, we gave a commendation that people really do value the word here. And I just want to make that also a challenge to continue in that, to continue to value the word. But again, not just to be hearers of the word. We're commanded in Scripture not just to hear the word, but to live it out, to take it in. And I do think that's something that I need in my life and you need in your life, not just to hear the word or kind of be taught. There's a difference between just having our theology right, kind of like having correct doctrine, having correct understanding of what the Scripture says. It needs to be displayed in my life. My life should look radically different. You know, if I'm building on the firm foundation of Christ and the word, my family, my life is going to look different. The thoughts that I think, the motivations of my heart, those are going to be radically different from someone who's not living for Christ. And so just where are you at in that? As far as, do you want the word? Do you want to be convicted? Do you have like two or three or maybe a couple more areas that I need to grow in this? Is that a value for you? And so I think that's something that we want to encourage you in. If you don't have a Bible reading plan for the new year, you should get one. You should have a Bible reading plan. And if you can Google it, I could help you get one. I could help you get a scripture-centered devotional book that would help you just each day to be saturated in the Word. And again, to invite that. Not just I want to read it and cross it off my list, but I want to be convicted. I want to see, as Sean said before, I want to look in the mirror and see what is it in my life that's not pleasing to the Lord. Probably most of us here, just with a small amount of reflection, could think of, I want to be a better husband. I want to love my wife better. I want to stop procrastinating. I want to be more pure in my thoughts. I want to stop losing my temper or whatever it is. I don't want to be so lazy. I want to start serving. I want to do this thing which would make me uncomfortable. We can all think of a couple things like that. Write those down. Make it a matter of prayer. Tell your spouse, here are the things in 2019 I want you to ask me about. An accountability partner. Here are the three things. Here are the five things that I really want to grow in. And I want you to check in with me every couple weeks or every month on the things that I need to grow in. And I just think that would be a way for us to heed the command in 2 Peter 3:18. It says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are commanded to grow. We're commanded to grow. And so just to do a little reflection, what are those areas that I need to grow in? So do you want to add anything on that?
No, good. Thank you. This last category is something that we've identified as a distinctive. We want to be this kind of people. And really, a church is, it's bigger than the sum of its parts. You know, if you think of 1 Corinthians 12, and it's not just that it's a bunch of parts and then you add them up like it's a math equation. We're bigger than the sum of our parts because at the center of everything is Christ. However, it's true to say that a church really is a reflection of the individuals in that church and their commitment to Christ and their commitment to holiness and wanting to walk in holiness and walk in obedience and take on the attitude of Christ. And when Paul addressed that with the Philippians, he said, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And it goes on to talk about how he made himself nothing. He humbled himself even to the point of death. And so our job as those who follow Christ is to humble ourselves. Every day, keep humbling ourselves before God and before each other. And so my last challenge is, though I think this is something we do well, I think we can do it even better. And I want to challenge all of us to pursue humility in 2019. And that's, if we don't have humility, if we're not humble before each other and before God, we can't keep the New Testament commands to the church. We just can't. We're commanded to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. How do you do that if you're not humble? You don't. We're commanded to forgive one another from the heart. How do you do that if you're not humble? You don't. You say, how dare he or how dare she? And then you move on in bitterness. You need humility. How do you, you're commanded to confess your sins to one another and be healed. How do you do that if you don't have humility? You don't. You're commanded to serve one another in love. How do you serve someone if you're not humble? You don't, because you think, well, I'm too good to do that. Someone else should do that. And on and on and on. If we look at all of those commands, it's amazing how at the base of it, it's all predicated on our willingness to obey that command, to take on the attitude of Christ and to humble ourselves. And so I'm calling you, I'm calling me, I'm calling the other elders as individuals, as a people. Let's walk in humility. Let's be approachable. Let's be the kind of people that says, if a brother or sister comes to me and they see something in my life that they think needs to change, oh, not only am I willing to hear that, thank you, Lord. Thank you that this person is in my life. I want to hear it. I'm eager to hear it. You see something I don't? Well, that's why God put you in my life to begin with, so that we can grow together. Let's have that commitment. Let's be humble before each other. Be humble before the Lord. And as a church, be humble. Let's be ready to give up anything we love, anything we cherish, that would keep us from moving together toward the goal. Okay? I'm excited. I think we have a lot to be thankful for. There's so many things we can say to commend this church. I am so grateful for this church family. I really am. And I'm excited about how we will move on together in 2019.